All right, so no more pre-recorded. My goal is to keep this short, just like all of my pre-recorded things. So welcome to our Lord's Supper service. We're going to spend some time preparing ourselves to eat the bread and to drink the juice. And as is our custom, we follow a simple pattern. We examine ourselves and see if there's any unconfessed sin that we need to clear up between us and our King. And if there is, we confess that sin. We just humble ourselves before Him and renounce our rebellion, and we get back on track. It's also a time when we recognize that we need to clear up relationships with one another. Interestingly enough, it's the people that you live with and have the most contact with that you are far more likely to sin against. And so if that person is here and we need to confess something to them, we do it here. If not, I encourage you just at your earliest opportunity to clear that thing up with whoever you have broken relationships with. And then lastly, we always take some time to commit ourselves again to our King, to swear our allegiance to Him. So today I would like to use as a couple of passages to prepare ourselves. One is Luke 21 and another is Titus 3. So in Luke 21, the disciples hear from Jesus about some uncertain times that are bound to come. They must come. And I've chosen this because it seems like on the news often we hear about during these uncertain days, and often even advertisements, people selling us things, they say, well, during these uncertain days. So I would like to pick up on that theme, these uncertain times. Jesus and his disciples in Luke 21 are in the temple grounds. And in that context, the disciples are, they're marveling at the stones and how they're adorned. And they remark about that to Jesus. And Jesus, he is going to say this about that. I can get my slide thing to advance. And Jeremy, I'm not sure why, but there we go. To them, excuse me, let's go back to the disciples. To the disciples, the temple structure itself, it shouted some things. It shouted that this is stability. Because God's temple is here, this is something that is not going to be uncertain. This is something that's not going to change. The temple itself shouted, some things change, but this will remain. But Jesus says this. He says, as for what you see here, and he's not just talking about some of the smaller stones that happen to make up the larger upper structure. He refers to the very foundation of the temple, which had stones that would make up the bulk of even the wall behind us, huge stones. He says, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Now that's unsettling if you think that here is something that just is certain and is not going to change. Here is something that represents stability. And Jesus says, actually, that is not stability. And so they ask, teacher, when will these things happen and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? And he says this, watch out that you're not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he. Many will come in my name, Jesus says, saying that I speak for the Messiah, or even perhaps I am the Messiah. Or they will come in my name and they will say, the end is about to come because look at all the incredible things that are going on around. The end is sure to come. And Jesus says, don't follow them. He says, when you hear of disturbing things, wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first. But the end will not come right away. I'm going to come back to that phrase, these things must happen, in a minute. Let's continue. He says, nation will rise against nation. These are part of the things that must happen. And we're horrified when we see that. What do you mean, those things must happen? Surely not. And kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famine, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. Jesus is saying the things that you think of as stability, those are not certain. Matter of fact, he says, I'm going to tell you that certainly things that are unsettling must happen. These things must happen. We shudder to think they may happen, that they We hope that they may not happen. And to hear Jesus say that they must happen, they're certain to happen. You know, we're like his disciples when Jesus would talk about how the Son of Man must be rejected and betrayed and handed over to the chief priests and teachers of the elders, and that he will be crucified and 3 days later rise. You know, when they heard that, they just were horrified and they said, I don't know what Jesus means by that, but surely that must not happen. Actually, for God's plan to work, that must happen. And when Jesus says that these things must happen, don't assume that that means that everything is out of control and that God is uninvolved. Right along with the evil things that are going on, God also is intimately at work in these things. They're certain to happen. Ironically, we call them uncertain times. And by that, we just mean that things that we were trusting in are no longer there. But Jesus actually says these uncertain times, they are guaranteed to come. They're certain. Given the worldwide rebellion against God and God's faithfulness to his image bearers and his faithfulness to his creation, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, how could you imagine a future where they don't come? The Apostle Paul describes it this way. At one time, we were a part of this world system. We too were foolish and disobedient and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. When you look at that picture, how is it possible that nations won't rise up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms? How is it possible that God's judgment won't come in one form or another? Actually, you might catch a glimpse of what Jesus meant when he said, these things are unavoidable. But Paul says to you and to me, the people of God, we have been called out of that present evil age. And even now, we live in the resurrection age, while the present evil age, it still is going on. But because Jesus has risen from the dead and his spirit is within us, we are a part of a new age, even now. Paul says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. He rescued us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. How did he save us? He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Spirit, whom he poured out generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our rescuer. We are rescued even now from sin and death. But those unsettling things, they still must come. So that having been justified by his grace, justified means that when God sees you, he says, if you have bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are in the right. You are one of my people. If you have not bowed the knee to my son, my king, then you are still condemned. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Today, we eat this bread and we drink this juice in joyful celebration. In spite of everything you hear where people with somber faces talk about these uncertain, frightening times, what we are doing here is not some religious irrelevant thing. We are participating in a memorial service where we celebrate our rescue from sin and death that is present and certain. We celebrate God's faithfulness to us and his rescue for us from this present evil age. Today, because his spirit within us, the life of the resurrection has begun even now while this present evil age lingers on, and that's worth celebrating. Nobody in the media will tell you that. Today, we are aware that the only thing that will not pass away, all the things we wish are certain and stable and secure, just like the disciples looking at these stones, they wish that that would never be threatened, economy and health and all kinds of stuff that we wish would always be stable and certain. Those things are not, Jesus says. But here's something that is always stable and certain, and that is God's faithfulness to rescue us, his people, and his creation. That is certain. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. This generation, he's talking about 2,000 years, that generation, and the same thing is true today. It will not pass away until all of these things that I've told you that you are horrified thinking that maybe they will happen, and God, hopefully not, they're actually going to come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, Jesus says. So be careful. Here's the danger. Not that there will be earthquakes and floods and pestilence and wars and rumors of wars and nation rising up against nation. That's bad enough. But here's the real danger. Your hearts are going to be weighed down with dissipation. That you will squander the opportunities that you have right now to bear fruit for his kingdom. And you'll turn around and look at a life wasted of opportunities. You just didn't produce anything for the kingdom. That your hearts will be weighed down by that disappointment. They will be weighed down by the cares of life. And again, everybody will tell you about all the cares of life and the difficulties and the bad things that are going on. There are those things going on. Be careful, he says, that if you lose sight of the fact that your king is going to return and set all things right, and that your king has already rescued you from sin and death, if you lose sight of that, then that day is going to close upon you unexpectedly, just like all those people who don't know him. Because it's going to come upon those, all those who live on the face of the earth. So let's examine ourselves and confess any unconfessed sin briefly. Are we squandering our assignments that God has given us? If so, then we need to confess that as sin and say, God, you have laid precious children and friends, and you've given me these abilities, and I'm not putting them to work for you and your kingdom. Are we anxious like people who don't know God? I mean, it would make sense that the world around us talk about these uncertain times and how desperate and how gloomy they are. That would make sense because they don't know that there is a loving Father who knows what they need and will provide for them. Have we fallen into that same weight of anxiety? If so, let's confess that as sin and say, God, I know better. You have provided for me all my life. Why would I think now in these uncertain times that they would separate me from you and your love? And are we continuing to care for our brothers and sisters? Or like a lot of people in the world, are we just pulling back to try to protect ourselves in these uncertain times? I'm going to give you a moment. If there are things that you need to clear up between you and God, if in your anxious and fear perspective, if you have not cared for and loved those that God has placed into your care. Take a moment. Clear this up between you and God. Father, protect us from having our hearts weighed down by squandering this life and by the cares of life that just would distract us from the fruit that you want us to produce here and now for your kingdom. Jesus says, be always on the watch. Two things are good to pray here. It's okay, just like Jesus, when you see the train coming and you're horrified at the destruction, to pray just as Jesus did. May this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours. One of the wisest things you can do if there are earthquakes and floods and pestilence and wars is to pray, God, rescue me from that. Separate me from that. That's okay. You're wise. And also say, but not my will, but your will be done. And then the next thing is this. Pray that you will stand firm as a loyal subject to your king. Father, we pray for both of those things here and now. Again, we pray that you would protect us from this coronavirus and protect us from financial distress during these times. And we also pray, as our Lord did, that not our will, but your will be done. Our prayer is, Father, that we will stand faithful before our King when he returns. May that be in Jesus' name. So today, it's a day to confess the sins of squandering our days and filling them with fear and anxiety. Today is a day where we have bread and juice that we celebrate as it represents God's faithfulness to us. As we eat the bread and drink the juice, once again, we are going to swear our allegiance to Jesus as our King. And we acknowledge the certainty that all kinds of things are going to change, things that we wish wouldn't change. But God's faithfulness, it never changes. If you have your Lord's Supper cup there, let's peel back the first layer and find your bread. If you're at home doing this, go ahead and take some bread. The Apostle Paul, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Oops, and I'm peeling back the wrong layer. Sorry. I should just humble myself and put on my glasses so I could see these things. Jesus says, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And the certain future. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, we now have life. Even here and now, we are free from sin and death. And Paul says, whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.